The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Right now, I'm joined by Geoffrey Roberts. He's Emeritus Professor of History at UCC, a member of the Royal Irish Academy, and a specialist on Russian and Soviet foreign and military policy. Geoffrey, you're very welcome to the show. It's good to talk to you. I know you've been writing in the Irish Times today suggesting that Ukraine seek a way back to the negotiation table and sue for peace. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Why?
I mean, there's two things that are going to happen in relation to this war. It can actually grind on for a long, long time, perhaps years. Ukraine, you know, more and more people being more and more devastated, or there can be some kind of a peace settlement which will bring it to an end. And okay, you know, Ukraine will lose a lot of territory, but it will survive as a free and in independent state. So that was what my article is about. It's an argument in favour of a peace settlement sooner rather than later. Settlement that's in Ukraine's interests above all else.
You say it would survive as a free and independent state, a smaller state, but free and independent. It wouldn't really be, though, would it? I mean, the threat would always be there that if they ever did anything Russia didn't like again, they'd be invaded.
Well, it depends on the nature of the peace settlement and the guarantees that Ukraine is given, you know, by Russia and also by the West and the rest of the international community. Now, you know, there's some people that say that Putin and Russia will never allow a free and independent Ukraine to exist of any kind of size. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's true. What Putin and Russia won't allow to exist or try to stop existing, you know, is an anti-Russian Ukraine, a Russia that poses a threat to them. So as long as Ukraine doesn't pose a strategic threat to Russia, then I see no reason why Ukraine and Russia can't coexist peacefully.
But that is foreign influence on Ukrainian sovereignty, the way you describe it. Essentially, you can do what you want as long as we're happy with it, from a Russian point of view.
Sure, sure. But that's the reality of international politics. A lot of states find themselves in that position. I mean, Finland is a good example here. Finland, for decades after the Second World War, found itself in this position where it had to align its foreign policy and diplomacy in the Soviet direction, but in return for which it could do anything like in terms of its domestic politics. Now, that was a highly successful policy from Finland's from Finland's point of view. Finland, one of the most successful state societies historically, and the same actually could have been true of Ukraine. And by the way, there's no reason for this war at all. Ukraine could have trod the same path as the Finns did. Yeah. So yes, a peace settlement would mean restrictions on Ukrainian sovereignty, but there would be in return for that, there would be a great deal of freedom domestically, and also various external supports for the rebuilding of Ukraine after the war.
And look, there's a certain rationale to it, but I mean, another way of describing what you're arguing for is that, you know, Russia is larger, it is more powerful, it has more resources. The Ukrainians should just roll over as a smaller, less powerful country.
Well, Ukraine hasn't rolled over, has it? It's actually put up a tremendous fight. And it's,
you'd prefer if they hadn't. You would prefer if they had sued for peace before now. That's fair, isn't it?
Ukraine has fought such a hard battle that I think we can completely take off the agenda any kind of idea that Russia is going to try to occupy the whole of Ukraine. But look, we have to be realistic here. Ukraine can refuse to roll over. It can continue to fight a war that it can't win. It can continue to fight a war that it's losing. It can continue to fight a war that is costing the lives of tens of thousands of its citizens and devastating its economy and society. Or it can make a compromise peace, make territorial concessions, make concessions to Russia in terms of security.
But all of that devastation has been inflicted by Russia. And your solution is, just give them what they want.
not everything that they want.
Most of what they want.
I'm advocating, you know, a negotiated, a negotiated peace settlement. And in those negotiations, Ukraine, with Western support, can actually can gain quite a lot. But look, if you don't have...
But like, what big Russian demand would not be acquiesced to in your hypothetical scenario? They're getting all the territorial claims they're looking for. Ukraine, as you describe it, wouldn't seek to sign up to any international organization like NATO. Their domestic policy, they could do what they want. Their foreign policy, though, they'd have to align with the Kremlin. What exactly would Putin lose for the devastation he's wrought on the country?
Which factor would Putin lose? Well, there could be guarantees about the treatment of Ukrainian citizens in Ukrainian occupied areas, for example. There could be prisoners of war exchanges. There could even be a certain amount of financial support indirectly coming from Russia to help Ukraine.
Jeffrey, that's not much of a concession for slaughtering innocent civilians and devastating the country. Your concession that the Russians have to sign up for is a prisoner exchange.
Listen, the alternative to that, the alternative to a negotiated settlement whereby the Ukrainians, with Western support, with Western backings, gets as much as it can out of that settlement, is a settlement whose terms will be dictated by Putin and Russia. And those terms will be far, far worse than the terms that could be negotiated at this point in time. Okay, yeah, so you can continue to fight the war on the basis that, you know, no compromise, no appeasement, we're not going to give in to the Russians, we're going to fight to the very end. But the outcome will be much, much worse for Ukraine and for its people. But that's why we need a ceasefire as soon as possible. That's why we need a peace agreement, a negotiated settlement.
Is what you prescribed, though, not a recipe that would allow any large country to annex parts of smaller neighbours? You know, like this is hypothetical. If the United States invaded Cuba tomorrow, by your rationale, the Cubans should just roll over and say, listen, it'd be too devastating for us to resist. You can have it.
But there were reasons that Russia invaded Ukraine. Now, I'm not saying there were good reasons. You know, I opposed the invasion publicly, and I'm certainly opposed to invasion. I think.
If the US invaded Cuba, should they roll over and just accept it, for applying the same logic to Ukraine?
But states, even big states, don't just invade other countries. For no reason. There are reasons. And the reason in this particular case was that Putin and the Russians saw Ukraine being built up militarily by NATO, even though Ukraine wasn't
Maybe my hypothetical was unfair. Let me give you this hypothetical. Finland now want to join NATO. If Russia invaded Finland tomorrow, should they do what you suggest Ukraine should do?
But the reason that, hang on, let me just finish this point. The reason that Russia invaded Ukraine was because they saw it as a threat. Now, I'm not saying they're right about that, but that was their perception. Once that threat goes away or is contained, actually through the outcome of this war, then Russia has no reason to.
So they should. If they perceive Finland. You're not answering the questions I'm asking. That's why I'm speaking over you. Apologies. But if they perceive Finland joining NATO, Finland, who are in their geographical orbit, if they perceive Finland joining NATO to be a threat, then invasion should not be resisted.
Putin has said that he doesn't actually see Putin joining NATO per se as actually being a threat to Russia, right? But what he has said is that... After joining NATO, Finland proceeds to establish foreign military bases on its territory or has nuclear weapon systems, then of course that will create a threat that wasn't there in the first place. So as long as Finland isn't a threat to Russia, Finland isn't under threat from Russia, irrespective of whether it's a member of NATO or not. The case with Ukraine was different. As I say, you have to understand it from the Russian point of view. Putin saw Ukraine as a threat to Russia, and that's why he went to war with Ukraine. Now, I'm not saying he was right, but that's the way he saw it. Once he's achieved his goal, which is to contain that threat, deal with that threat, then there's no reason why Ukraine can't continue to exist as a free and independent state,
albeit one with lots of lost territory. Like I said, if you want to read Jeffrey's arguments in more detail, he's written a piece. It's in the Irish Times today. Jeffrey Roberts is Emeritus Professor of History at UCC.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.